Enter one Stanley Allen Meyer. A giant man in both stature and charisma, he burst on the scene when, even though he possessed no formal education, claimed to have created a water fuel cell capable of powering everything from cars to tanks. And he was even driving around in an example. He stated the government was interested in his inventions and it would radically change the world. Then, his untimely death in 1998 at just 57 years of age while yelling, "They poisoned me," made headlines around the world. Did Stanley really create a working fuel cell? Was he silenced by big oil? Why did my father watch Hee Haw? We take a crack at answering at least two of those questions this week on Hysteria 51.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Not crazy.
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, the podcast that doesn't always talk about...
Get a new intro for crying out loud.
Don't listen to him, Brent. I cheese muffins.
You cheese muffins what?
Exactly.
Yup.
You guys seriously, seriously suck. Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, also known as Chicago, I'm your host and the man steering this hydrogen-powered disaster this week. My name is Brent Ahand, and you heard from the Peanut Gallery, Conspiracy Bot, and Kyle. I created CBot to help research and produce a show, and instead he just produces shit for me to have to fix.
You're welcome.
And the other high-pitched disaster, that's Kyle, his sidekick in creation. In all honesty, we aren't really sure what he does, but he stays out of the way, so there is that.
I like beans.
Good Lord. Anyway, we are talking Stanley Meyer and his claimed water fuel cell this week, suggested by listener Will Fowler. I'd asked on our Discord to give us some ideas. He came up with that. So, Will, I got to get with you. Send me your information. You're getting a little prize pack, maybe even some beans. I don't know. We'll see if Kyle's got any to spare. So you can blame him for this mess or this amazingness, however it works out to be. And I'm not alone. It's not just me and the bots. Returning to the lower fourth dimension once again is a man who is long overdue for his first intro bumper. I think we just got to give you one. I know we've never done one before. So here you go. Welcome back, Mr. David Flora. Flora, aren't you happy we finally gave you a bumper?
Wow, Brent, great to be back, man. This is so nice to finally get a bumper for this show. I tell you what, you know what this reminds me of?
Oh, dear God.
It reminds me of that Five Timers Club in SNL.
You know, yeah.
The Five Timers Club.
You did get my smoking jacket I sent you, right?
I'm waiting on it. I just got an email that said UPS package delivery today.
That might be, if it's ticking, that one's from CBot. I would maybe leave that outside for a few days.
I need to come back like every other week so we can just do this ad nauseum.
Most of the things I get, the reviews are either I love this show or they do inner whatever ad nauseum. So that's, I mean, it's... You know,
on brand.
You're goddamn right. Man, we were talking about alternative fuels, and you're the man. When I think of shit being ruined by water, I just go David Flora for some reason. Don't know why. There's no joke there. It's just where my mind goes.
It's that the permanent impression of the Super Soaker tank that's on my back from wearing it so much.
You remember that? They literally had a backpack. in our lifetime, we went from the I'm telling my mom.
Where's my eye?
they had some battery powered water pistols when I was very young, and I remember like all my friends got them, and then like three times using them, they were all corroded and didn't work anymore. Like what?
Wow.
What? genius at Galoob or Worlds of Wonder thought of, let's put a battery, probably a 9-volt in there, and let it get exposed to children and water.
Lick it real good first and then stick it on in there. Man, they should have been using some other kind of fuel source, some power generating thing that's not, you know.
Well, they were fresh out of Element 115. This was the 80s and it was in high demand, as you remember.
That's right.
But we are talking about Stanley Meyer, as you heard in the Gophopedia in the beginning. When I told you I was going to do a Gophopedia, you told me I should do rename it since John isn't here, a Handypedia. I'm pretty sure that is illegal in 7 states.
When has that stopped you before?
That is true. That's one of those things like, what is he, what's it's he guilty of? Handypedia. Yeah. Oh, dear God. Get a rope. that's not even a
usually
joke.
Usually you have to find that terrifying on DuckDuckGo.
Yeah. So we are talking about someone that I can get along with because he wasn't a scientist. He was a scientistician. Or a scientician, however you want to pronounce it.
He was scientish.
He was science adjacent, at least on his business cards. Stanley Allen Meyer, not a scientist, not a chemist, no college education other than he did sign up for college. A for effort there. But out of nowhere, this guy was blasted on the scene when he showed up with a dune buggy that he said ran on water. Now, I'm happy when anyone shows up with a dune buggy, no matter what. It could run on tears. Yeah, period. He was full of promises and technical jargon, and there is no shortage, if you go to YouTube, of videos of him talking through the crazy, crazy stuff. And it almost sounds like that. We'll play a clip of it.
Work has been proceeding on the crudely conceived idea of an instrument that would not only provide inverse reactive current for use in unilateral phase detractors, but would also be capable of automatically synchronizing cardinal gram meters.
That kind of stuff. He seems competent, adept at talking, and most of all, serious. There was no tongue-in-cheekness to any of these videos. When you watched him, did he come off as, like, it seemed serious, right? It seemed real.
He seems completely on the level in all of his interviews and stuff.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's well-groomed, he's put together, he's not disheveled or frenetic or kind of stumbling over stuff, he's well-spoken.
Yeah, he's got a booming voice, he's like 6'3", he's like a big guy, and he looks like everyone's uncle or something like that, you know, like the guy that's like, I was in the garage tinkering, you know?
Yeah, or like the history teacher in high school that you are okay learning from.
Yeah, right?
Because he's seen some shit.
Where were you? In the middle of the class, he just starts staring off. Where were you? Saigon 74. Anyway, he said his system split water into hydrogen and oxygen and used hydrogen to power the car, which technically this turns out it was an electric vehicle. Because of the way the electrolysis works, it becomes an electric vehicle.
Also, maybe a Zeppelin with wheels.
maybe. You know, nothing screams, I really want to have this around me, like hydrogen and pure oxygen just being separated. And then a whole bunch of water in a tank so that when you explode, it puts itself out. You know, he was literally, though, when this came out, all over the news showing his buggy running, doing technical breakdowns and saying that the government had interest in his tech for everything from, he says, Star Wars program to tanks and other vehicles. That's a hell of a statement.
Well, yeah, you gotta appeal to the military industrial complex.
Do you remember back when we were kids? It seems like everything was the Star Wars program. Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars. It always caught me because of the movies. And that was just like, it was like the defense stuff, you know, in space. And then it kind of went away, or depending on which episode of this show you're listening to, is there to stay and now intergalactic.
I don't remember any talk of the Star Wars program, to be honest. Reagan or after, like I knew the movies and that's it, and I never heard anything about some defense program.
Sure, play it cool, guy. I get it.
Right?
I seriously don't know.
You guys.
Did I say what you wanted?
No one ever heard of this Star Wars program until old Ronnie came along.
That's Ronnie Reagan. Thank you very much. Guess what, though? Investors came out of the woodwork for this because he's coming out and saying that he's going to revolutionize the world. And then some decided that he was full of shit and sued him. But no good story is worth its salt without some death.
Amen.
Well, boom, he dies suddenly in 1998. And guess what? I hope you got your socks on tight. Conspiracies abound.
No one stiffs me on a Botboo's order and lives.
Right, right.
Speaking of, David, where's my money,
man? It's
time
for a break, I think, Brent. Isn't it about time to run one of them ads of yours?
Yeah. When we come back, it's the life, claims, and sudden death of one Stan Meyer. That's coming up after the break on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
That's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know? If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. Nation, we want pictures of your dogs. That's just a personal request from me, but while you look for a good one, let me tell you about something near and dear to my and Brent's hearts, your dog's health. You may have noticed lots of dogs suffering from health issues these days, joints, odors, it's not good. Actress Katherine Heigl noticed these issues too, and after a ton of research, there was one place she found we can look to support any dog's health, their food. So she created Superfood Complete, food for your four-legged friend that's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Her company, Badlands Ranch, also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Now, I know Brent has used Superfood Complete with his lovable meatballs, and they absolutely love it. He said it's easy to prepare, both his guys grow crazy for it, and he loves knowing what he's giving them is healthy and full of ingredients that are actually beneficial to his little rapscallions. You can try it for yourself by going to badlandsranch.com/hysteria and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/hysteria today.
Stanley a Boom Boom Meyer, as I like to call him.
I want my $2!
Sorry, no, that SIBO is actually Lane Meyer from Better Off Dead. This is Stan Meyer.
Honest mistake.
Yeah, right, right, of course. Stan was born in the year of our Lord, 1940, on August 24th. And he grew up and lived in Columbus, Ohio, and around that whole area. And after high school, he joined the military. And that's where he got into his tanks and Star Wars. And he briefly applied to Ohio State University.
The Ohio State University.
Thank you. Thank you. He didn't stay at the university. But ever since Stan was young, he said that he was determined to build something new. And he had a twin brother, and you get a lot of quotes from him. He talks about the now. You got to take a lot of these things with a grain of salt, too, because these are just things that his brother said. But here's a quote from Stephen Meyer, his brother. We were always building something. We went out and created our toys. So he's like that weird kid from Toy Story is where I'm at in my head. He had a pair of legs with a crane on it and a duck with a gun. I don't know. It's kind of your call on that one. Anyway. Not to be outdone by just being a kid and being inventive, his whole life passion was inventing, and he was the owner of a ton of patents. We're talking stuff from banking to oceanography, cardiac monitoring. He had a ton of them that were like in Canada only, hundreds and hundreds of patents, and so many patents that he actually got streamlined to when he would like put in new stuff, they'd be like, all right, well, we'll give him the quick pass because he's coming up with so much stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And he had come up with so much stuff before that was legit.
Yeah, I think
the patent office was just like, oh, there's that name again. Mm-hmm. Let's just send it on to approvals.
Right, right. And his brother also talked about how they were very religious. He would credit God for all his works. His favorite saying, his family says, is praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.
Wow. So what a patriot.
Yikes. But back to invention. Stanley applied for more than, I said hundreds and thousands, 200,000 patents. That is a fuckload. How do you even have time? You know what I mean?
How do you have time for the paperwork?
Right, right. Like, that's just I every once in a while think of something in my mind, and I'm like, huh, I should patent that. And then I either find out that it was made years ago, or it comes out years later, and I go, I should have done that.
Right. I mean, what this sounds to me like he's inventing so much stuff that he comes up with something like the double toothpick. It's like a toothpick with another toothpick glued to it.
Right.
It's like, do two teeth at once.
Yeah. Are you tired of this? And then there's just the black and white. Ow, my gums are bleeding. No longer with a double toothpick.
Yeah. Clean your teeth in half the time.
Yeah. Well,
double the toothpick power.
Not to be outdone by the double toothpick, which made him his fortune. The hydrogen-powered car soon came along. We're going to go through his claims and what other people claimed, and we're going to break it down. I'm not going to get into too much jargon. If you want to do that, you know, go right at it. But it's out there a little bit. The claim, again, in short, was that he created a fuel cell based on the principle of splitting water atoms into the elemental form, burning hydrogen to create energy and releasing oxygen, along with the water residues that went through the exhaust pipe. Thus generating harmless emissions. You're releasing oxygen and water, and you're burning the hydrogen. Plus, all the needed hardware and everything else to fit to a stock internal combustion engine he was inventing also. And if you watch the videos with his dune buggy, he talks about how, well, this is how I fitted it to a carburetor, and this is how it talks to the electrical system and things like that. And it's got all sorts of switches and doodads and wires and stuff all over the place.
What would a carburetor be doing with this hydrogen setup? Because a carburetor, from my understanding, is mixing the air and fuel.
Well, see, you're exactly right. Now there's a whole there's a whole video where he talks about how he retrofitted this thing, which his name is escaping me, that makes the carburetor work with the hydrogen. That was another one of his inventions.
To me, it seems like that would be the first thing you would chuck out because you didn't need it, because you don't need a fuel-air mixture. Today we have fuel injection that's replaced carburetors, but like for hydrogen, for separating hydrogen and oxygen atoms.
So I think the thing that going forward would have been different, but I think he was trying to make this, he had said, backwards compatible with engines that are already out there. So he was coming up with some sort of way, and I don't understand how. Now, you know, internal combustion engines are detonation. It puts the fuel in, it brings the oxygen, they ignite, that's what moves your pistons and that move your crankshaft, and that moves your, finally it goes down to one little wheel that, you know, your flywheel, and that moves everything, and everything gets going.
Don't forget the differential.
there's a lot of steps in there, and he was trying to make it so that you could go out and get this and put it in your 73 Buick with minor, but you know, not a ton of costly stuff to be done to it. So anyway, the big part is, according to Meyer, the device required less energy to perform electrolysis than the minimum energy required predicted or measured by conventional science. So what he was saying is his energy output, when they would put stuff into that, oh, I'm getting blah, blah, blah of energy. And all these scientists and engineers are like, that's not true. That they can't. And his supporters are like, what do you mean? And they're like, because that breaks the laws of physics, which we'll get into.
Can we break that down just a second? Just for folks, like, this is saying, in layman's terms, it's two parts electricity to make one part fuel.
Right? Yes.
And what he's saying he's doing is one part electricity to two parts fuel.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the output is more than the input needed to make that output, right? So that's the big stop. And that's the same thing that happens with desalination, why we can't just turn seawater into drinkable water, because it takes so much energy and power and pollution, really, to make enough drinking water. It's just not feasible and not sustainable and not smart in terms of science.
Right.
You need to at least have a zero point to where it cancels out. It's at least equal what you put into it to what you get out. And ideally, you want what you get out of it to exceed what you put into it. That's the ideal situation.
Yeah, the mechanism was alleged to involve the stuff. It's called Brown's gas, which is a mixture of oxyhydrogen, and that's the ratio you're talking about, 2-1, which would then be mixed with ambient air. That's the shit we breathe, and that's a mixture of nitrogen, carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, methane, fluorocarbons, free radicals, electrons, radiation, all that shit. Then the resultant hydrogen gas was burned to generate energy, which reconstituted the water molecules in another unit, separate from the unit in which the water was separated. So, like, you put water in, it breaks it down, then you get water again. Now, herein lies the problem, or so mainstream shills would have you think if you were one of his followers. If the device worked as specified, it would violate both the number one and number two rules of the laws of thermodynamics, allowing operation of what they call a perpetual motion machine. Now, there's only three laws of thermodynamics, so two out of three ain't bad. That'll keep you in the majors. It's not bad. The first law, also known as the law of conservation of energy, states that energy cannot be created or destroyed in an isolated system. And he is getting so much output that he's creating energy. There's more energy being exported from it than there is from the fuel that he's putting in.
Yep.
The second law of thermodynamics states that the entropy of any isolated system always increases. Whatever that means. And the third law of thermodynamics states that the entropy of a system approaches a constant value as the temperature approaches absolute zero. Luckily, they didn't say that that one was wrong. So he got to buy a numero three on that one.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to create absolute zero when you in your dune buggy.
Yeah, if you listen to the lamestream media.
Lamestream media.
Now, here's where people
telling
are divided.
For months.
Here's where the rift starts. Meyer's believers, his truthers out there, swear that Stan was a genius and that the only reason we're not all driving around in water-powered cars right now is because the oil companies or the government had Meyer killed so as to suppress his invention. We've all heard of the suppression of things like that. I mean, is that a hard pill for you to swallow?
No, not at all.
That's what makes conspiracies like this stick and so sexy. And this is going down the road of science denying. And it's science denying in a way because they're also saying, well, this guy's science checks out. Well, flat earthers say they have science. And all these others say they have science. So science is a rocky road, so to speak, right?
The good thing is, kind of part and parcel with science, is that it's testable.
Right. Yeah. Just like my nerves, they're getting tested. But like I said earlier, I really think that's what stuff like this catches on so well, because it is sexy to hate the government. Sexy is probably the wrong word there, but I'm sticking by my choice.
Yeah, by sexy you mean a fad. It's chic.
By sexy. Now that sounds fun.
Holy chic.
The poo-pooers make their following arguments. Meyer had no qualifications as a scientist. That's not a deal breaker to me.
No.
It is a clue in some cases, but people claim it here like that's the gospel.
That holds some water, pun intended, sometimes, right? But if you spend 20 years engineering things, just because you don't have the piece of paper saying you spent 4 years and a ton of money having people talk at you, it doesn't mean that you don't know what you're doing in
right.
that said field. Take this, for example, Brent. Like, you and I have been doing this for a good number of years now.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make us any less, I don't know, legit as either researchers or people who are able to talk about this type of stuff? You know,
well, if you read the naysayers online, yes.
Yeah, okay. If you read reviews, shut up. But like, I'm just saying, like, I could tell a solid difference between my skills now, especially in researching this type of stuff.
Oh, and my BS meter, my bullshit meter, of you know, sniff through, and even the places to look, you know, and to be able to read through, and. People, you know, I always think it's funny when people go like, you went to Snopes? Yeah, I went to Snopes and I went to the bottom and I read all of their links and I figured out where they actually got their information from.
Are people saying Snopes is akin to Wikipedia now?
I mean, even Wikipedia is a fantastic place to find your sources, you know, and at least Wikipedia is vetted. You don't have to take their word for it, but it's a good starting place. To find information.
The sweaty neckbeards that look at all the Wikipedia articles and approve or disapprove, that, you know, it's sad little kings of sad little hills, but the information that's on there is usually legit, at least. And I would challenge anybody who poo-poos on Wikipedia to go out there and try to get themselves a page on Wikipedia.
Right.
Just do it.
Side note, a lot of people say that print is dead, but Sweaty Neckbeard Quarterly is a hell of a publication. I just want to throw that out there.
I've been a subscriber for about a decade.
So
I run to the mailbox.
It's Nudie Magazine Day. And Sweaty Neckbeard Quarterly.
What's it? She Mail Fiesta or something like that.
Oh, Lord. I think we're both on that means nothing to me. You don't have to have an education, a formal education, to be a genius and an inventor. As they say, Einstein did his best work as a patent clerk, you know? So there's all of that. The first to sell this fuel cell. the one that he showed, it draws half an amp at 110 volts, 55 watts, but would appear, it appears to only produce less than a liter per minute, no more efficient than other electrolysis cells, meaning he just was doing electrolysis and that is not enough. He's putting in more fuel than it makes. As you broke down earlier, it is not... Could it save your life one day? Maybe, you know, if you needed it. That's why they desalinization and stuff. These systems exist, but it's not efficient enough for a fuel and to use for cars. It can't run an engine like claimed. He claimed that in regular electrolysis, three times as much energy is consumed as is produced in fuel, a 33% efficiency. This is wrong. He said that they say it's very easy to achieve efficiencies of twice that with conventional electrolysis cells, which still aren't good enough. Now, the patent issue, and you talked about this, we did 200,000 patents. There's a misconception that getting a patent for a device is some kind of proof that it works. That is patently untrue. Oh, we are firing on all fucking cylinders. Yeah.
Damn.
The patent office doesn't test its designs in its process. They can't. That's just, it's not how it works. It's simply a clerical operation that checks and balances are made that the submitted document meets criteria for completeness and correctness. So they're saying he filled all the paperwork. It looks correct. I'm giving you a patent for this, whether it works or not. You can patent a fart if you probably put it through the ringers correctly. I don't know if that's true, but we should probably
call my butt cheeks the ringers.
There are tons and tons and tons of patents issued every year for devices that simply do not work or are never tested. There's a UFO patent out there that gets makes the rounds every couple of years. It's, you know, one of those things. Those observers who claim that the fuel cell was producing far more gas than they'd expect appeared to be taking Meyer's word for the amount of electrical energy that was being input and out and the power output. He used his own high frequency modulator to drive the cells, and there appears to be no independent testing to determine whether the power levels he claims were actually the power levels being used. And I say appears, he didn't let anyone check them. He refused. Just his word. Take it or leave it. Okay, well, you're saying this. Can we check into this? No, you may not. Okay. But I'll take your money. Okay. So there was no independent scientists or others who were prepared to state categorically that Stanley Meyer's technology actually worked as it claims. There's no one out there. Zero people at that time. And to this day, no one in the world of real science is willing to come out and say that, because his patents are free. And you can go out and make it yourself, and no one can make his engine and make it work, because it does not work. The patent is fouled. Now, why? Now, did the government get wind of this in 86 guy? Did they change his patents, as someone's saying, keep the real ones for themselves? It's death and conspiracy time after the break. That's what's up next on Hysteria 51.
I could say that for any show. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Okay, this is where the conspiracy really takes off here. Meyer died suddenly on March 20th of 1998 while dining at a restaurant, a Cracker Barrel, for those playing along at home. It smells like the plot to a movie, doesn't it? Like,
oh, I thought it smelled like cigarettes and biscuits.
You guys done with this rocking chair? I'm going to sit up here for a spell.
A spell.
His brother claimed that during a meeting with two Belgian investors in a Cracker Barrel, Stanley Meyer suddenly felt a jolt of pain in his neck. And there's not a lot of conjecture to that part. The pain in his neck. Stanley was rushed out of the restaurant. He told his brother, "They poisoned me," and then fell to the ground and died right then and there at age 57. Smells a little crazy, especially when he's yelling, "They fucking poisoned me," but not so fast. There was an investigation. In fact, it was a long investigation because of whenever you yell, "They poisoned me," in front of people as you die.
In front of a Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, the cops take it seriously.
Which is like the people's tribunal.
Yeah.
That's where they hold their hearings.
They went out
pull
in front
a
of
rock and chair.
They all had their thumbs out to the side and either put them up or down. So this happened in Grove City, and the police went with the Franklin County Coroner report. They all agreed after this long, long investigation. It was like 3 months investigation to his death. They all agreed with the coroner, who ruled that Meyer's death was natural. He had very high blood pressure, like astronomically high, and he died of a cerebral aneurysm, which is what happens when you have untreated high blood pressure. And there's reasons why that might be. We'll get into that in a little bit. Because of the suddenness of his death, like I said, they took 3 months and they looked into every avenue that they could, and no evidence of foul play was ever discovered. But a lot of people like to point out, well, what about this and that and the other? That's where your weird science, and I found researching this, is there are a lot of sites out there that make claims that just are not true.
Example.
Like the fact that they said that he was meeting with these investors, these foreign nationalists that, you know, they poisoned him. The guy that he was meeting with had been bankrolling him for years and was his buddy. And they said that if you read on a lot of sites, it says that he was meeting with NATO and other foreign dignitaries. Like, no, we were eating a Cracker Barrel. He was my buddy. That's a little bit weird. So high blood pressure is one of the risk factors associated with brain aneurysms. That comes from the Mayo Clinic. Symptoms of an aneurysm include sudden headache or neck pain, stiff neck, vomiting, and seizures, which is he got that sudden neck jolt pain. He ran outside, had a seizure, and died.
It's possible that he was paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
He truly believed he was being poisoned and it was an aneurysm. And
yeah.
He didn't know. You know, I mean, how are you going to know you're having a friggin' aneurysm?
Right. Well, unless your robot just prepared your dinner for you. There's not a lot of... right. Now, like I said, you know, they initially said, even the coroner's report initially said that the companions were officers from NATO because people were telling him that. And one of the investors at the time of his death was Philip Van Mortelli, Philip V, and he was from the Netherlands. And he actually spoke in 2020. And he said he doesn't know why anyone ever identified him as a NATO officer or how rumors that Meyer had been deliberately killed ever started. He went on to say, "I have questions about it, But, you know, he said, I have doubts about whether his death happened by chance, but I know nothing more than anyone else. So that's even vague in and of itself. But he's not a NATO guy. He wasn't anything. And he's like, what is certain is that I didn't kill him. He was my friend. I even paid his bills. He'd been bankrolling him. So that's a lot of weird shit. And a lot of those NATO blah, blah, blah seems to have come from the brother, Stephen, who was trying to pump up the story a little bit.
What was in it for him to do that?
Money, I think, or safe face. Well, like, so
trying to sell this patent.
Well, I'll get you into that in just a second, because there is a little bit more to that. Without, you know, surprise, Myers believers believe he was assassinated to suppress his invention. And again, that could be believable with big oil. That Belgian investor, the guy from the Netherlands, even said that he had been supporting him financially, not for years, considered him one of his personal friends. And like I said, he has no clues where that comes from. The thing about this, in reality, you asked why he was into this. This was 1998 when he had died. In 1996, Meyer was convicted of fraud when he was unable to demonstrate his claims to investors or the court. See, his investors had been saying, yeah, let's make this. He kept coming forward and coming forward and coming forward. They're like, all right, let's see it. You know, it's not ready. It's not ready. I can't. Well, we need to test it. I don't want you to test it. So they sued him because they'd put a lot of money that him and his brother were swallowing up into this. They took him to court and they said, you got to prove it to us. And he was found to be a fraud because it didn't work. He could not prove in a court of law that it worked, nor could anyone else prove that it worked. We actually have audio from the trial, C-Bot, if you will.
Order sucks. It really, really sucks.
So he got all this money from people. And then when time came to, you know, shit or get off the pot, I guess he got off the pot. Yeah. And the water cell just didn't work. But then 2 years later, these guys are still giving him money after he'd already been sued and lost. He'd already duped more people into giving him fucking money. That kind of blows my mind, doesn't it to you? That, or he had a sweet fucking tongue, him and fucking Nazi fuckheads and shit. Like, they can be pumping out the dumbest shit and people go, I'll back you. I just don't get it. The thing of it is, free energy conspiracy. There's a lot of free energy conspiracies out there. Some people claim that technology is there's technologically viable, pollution free, no energy sources. They're out there and they're being suppressed by the government, corporations, or advocacy groups. Why? Money, for one. Big oil and the shit like that. The reptoids need our adrenochrome. And it's best when we've been driving around in an internal combustion engine. I mean, everyone just knows that. The devices that are suppressed include perpetual motion machines, cold fusion generators.
Red matter.
Taurus-based generators, reverse-engineered extraterrestrial technology.
What is it? Teleportation.
Yeah.
Warp drives.
Anti-gravity propulsion systems. all these low-cost energy systems, they're unproven.
Why Pete Davidson is so popular with the ladies.
Why? Oh my God. That needs to be next week's fucking episode. Right. But another flip
I'll
to
tell
that.
You why. Big dick. That's all.
Well, I know why he's popular with you all now too. You know what is sexy about that? Not Pete Davidson. Oil is worth too much. So fuck our advancement, or, you know, I want the money. That is a believable thing. You know, money is a hell, and oil is makes a lot of people billionaires. And that's in a crazy, it's a believable thing because money corrupts, and the idea of suppressed anything is a fun avenue. If you know, and you feel like you're in on the truth, that's kind of like a drug you get into your system. Oh, I know what's really going on.
Yeah.
Do you buy any of those things?
I buy that oil companies have the power, influence, and enough money to do pretty much whatever they want. I mean, they're writing laws for us in this country right now anyway. And I think if you wanted to off somebody, somebody like this would be an easy mark for a hitman mm-hmm. because they're not very high profile.
Right.
They're just some bumbling guy, you know, who invents a bunch of stuff that's not very groundbreaking, but when he comes out and says there is something groundbreaking that threatens your power, yeah. you're going to do something about it. And it's not like they're trying to get rid of a senator or a head of state or something like that, which would be, you know, have a bigger magnifying lens on it than just this dude from Columbus.
I think the problem in the whole story, which is a good thing, at least for the conspiracy crowd to not be able to hold on to, is the fact that he was sued. He could not prove it. The patent has been done and doesn't work.
That's the rub. Like, yeah, why would you need to hire a hitman if this guy's already shooting himself?
Right. In the foot? Now, the other guy said that he doesn't sure that, you know, there could be other reasons. Again, this comes from some of those websites that were, I know, were false. They talked about how he thought the Belgian guy, Philippe, believed that maybe he was killed by other investors because he had fucked them over. Not because they were trying to suppress free energy, but because he was a fuckstick and they were like, then you go die.
Yeah, he fucked with the wrong stick on that one.
Speaking of conspiracies, that one makes sense too. You know what I mean? Because we're dealing with people with money, and they got fucked over.
I don't think they're mutually exclusive. It could be the same people, you know, involved in big oil and trying to invest in this or something, or, you know, trying to play both sides or whatever.
Well, speaking of playing both sides, let's look at the flip of that too. Is there's all these claims of suppression. The scientific community has controlled and suppressed research into alternate everything, but alternate avenues of energy generation via the institution of peer review and academic pressure, meaning we're not going to allow you to look into this because you're not going to get tenure, or we are going to poo-poo on it so much that you're never going to be able to publish any other things in academia again. Mm-hmm. That's happened from stuff like this to people that want to study the Egyptian stuff. I mean, it's one of those weird, and I think some of it has, well, I have my own theory and I don't want you to disprove me, so fuck you. But shouldn't science always be trying to disprove everything? You know, it's kind of like a take a guess and stab at it and, you know, fuck around and find out. That's the scientific method. Literally.
Science is. The problem is, to do science, you need human beings, and human beings are pieces of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shit doesn't do science well. You can quote me on that.
Yeah. The problem is, then you get people that say, like, devices exist which are capable of extracting significant and usable power from pre-existing unconventional energy reserves, like poop or the sun or poop from the sun. You know, quantum vacuum, zero-point energy, things like that that you've heard, and you go, what is that? Ha, 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 science! You know, and for little or no cost, but are being suppressed. Related patents have been brought up, such as there's like one for like 100 mile per gallon carburetor. Well, guess what? It is out there. And then you find out, well, it doesn't really work either. The reality is, you know, like we said, he was convicted in Ohio in a court and found to be a fraud. His investors sued him. Large sums of money were sent to him for commercializing his technology. Nothing came of it. And the water fuel cell didn't work. He's not alone. There's been others that have been claimed to have been silenced in one way or another. There's a guy, John Canzius. He has claimed that the 13.56 megahertz radio frequency could be used to dissociate hydrogen and oxygen from salt water, and they could be burned from fuel.
Tell me how that works.
I don't know. These are just others.
Just John Canzius.
Yeah. Now, let me say it this way. These aren't ones that I researched into. These are just others that are saying that we have it, I'm being suppressed, and others say it is complete horseshit. Eugene Malove, he had a tabletop, M-A-L-L-O-V-E, Malove.
All of my love.
All of my love. He had a tabletop cold fusion generator, he claimed. You can put it in a suitcase, take it with you, turn it on, you're running fucking Vegas for a couple days.
Yeah.
Are you tired of this happening at home? Oh, I can't run the neighborhood. Well, not with the double toothpick cold fusion top tabletop fusion reactor. And of course, then we've got the one that everyone's heard of and we've talked about here, Nikola Tesla. Everything from free energy to death rays and things like that.
Which is half right. I mean, the...
Yeah, it was free death rays. Wireless
transmission of energy, of electricity was... a thing.
He was working on it. He was working on it. He just couldn't do it for long distances.
And I would have loved to have seen what he could have done if he had finished that tower at, was it Wardenclyffe in New Jersey?
Yeah, if he hadn't started wanting to marry and fuck around with birds. he didn't like women. He thought they were a distraction. Yeah. But he said that he had a pigeon that he just... He called in his old wife
age, yeah.
And got real weird.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has claimed to do something at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the vaguest statement ever. But I mean, in terms of cold fusion, there's been, I don't know how many headlines made, you know, so scientists solve cold fusion. But then when they actually tried to demonstrate it for people, a la Meyer here.
Yeah.
It's just not there. They can't produce it.
Right. And even if they did, so the Eugene guy, he had a tabletop cold fusion machine claims. Do you know how big a normal they think if we could come up with cold fusion? Let's go to our man on the street.
You know, this thing was so huge. It was, you know, bigger than a Walmart.
That's true. That's how big it's going to have to be in the beginning.
It's like, yeah, but they don't tell you that the tabletop is actually Grand Mesa.
The problem is this stuff does happen. Suppression does happen. Look at, you know, the guy who made the intermittent wipers and then got sued, and he ended up, they were going to give him like $15 million to shut up, and he's like, no, I'm taking it to court. And they're like, you might get $1 million. He's like, but I'll get my dignity. Things do get suppressed, but you have to be able to weed through the crazies to find the real victims. And sometimes that's easier said than done. And when there's scientific jargon and people like me who don't understand a lot of it, you kind of fall on one side or the other and you hope that the horse you're backing is the right horse, so to speak.
Right. You want to take someone at their word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't tell if this guy was delusional or truly believed he had something and just couldn't. I mean, he had to have been lying at some point.
Well, he had the car. They're saying that he's driving around in this car. And when you watch, people are like, that is impossible. So I mean, where was the
possibility aside, like just not being able to reproduce it or recreate it when you have to. And you know what? This is just based on what we've been discussing here briefly. I actually, if I'd seen the trial or heard the arguments in it or whatever, I might have a different opinion. Maybe something happened or you know, he didn't have the stuff finished like he was saying or something at the time when he was tried for this. But it all comes down to put up or shut up.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to reproduce it, and you've got to be able to have it do what you say it's going to do if you say it's going to do something, right?
Yeah, I agree. And I sometimes think, and this is a claim that I'm not saying is him or anything like that. Sometimes you say something, and we've seen that with these reporters and stuff. I was under fire. And you start with a claim and people buy into it and it grows and grows and grows. And then all of a sudden it's out of your hands and you feel like I have to go with it because I can't say no. You know what I mean? I'm not no, but I can't tell the truth now because it's too late.
Because if you said no, it invalidates everything you're working on.
Yeah.
When there might be some legitimacy to what you're working on.
And this guy obviously had other patents than some of them did work. He had sold things.
Yeah.
So he wasn't an idiot.
Well, I mean,
parts of him wasn't an idiot, but you got to kind of be an idiot to if this is true, to allow, you know, to go this far without finally saying, here's the real cards.
I think you're really onto something with this. Like the amount of stuff that he did get out there, and invent and actually put science to work for successfully. And then he comes to this one, which is a big claim, but everything just sort of falls apart with this. That's why it's kind of hard not to believe there's something behind this.
Yeah.
Right? There is a greater context that makes this seem like something was wrong, something was going on, and that he was more on the level than what he's kind of made out to be. But I think you also made the very good point that once it gets out there and it starts growing and taking a life of its own, people can say whatever they want, like the dude you met with at a Cracker Barrel was a NATO representative, or, you know,
yeah.
And then the guy's like, what are you talking about? I don't even know what NATO stands for, you know, like, so it's probably a little from column A, B, and C, that's going on, that he had something he was working on. Maybe he was getting close to something. He couldn't prove it, and therefore it made him seem like a crank. And it also got out there and grew and became a conspiracy, because people that at the heart of conspiracies usually don't have a lot to do with how the conspiracy is perceived on the other side.
Right.
So it could be a little of everything going into this to make it seem both believable and unbelievable. And it's just completely brackish water at this point, which is very bad for trying to run your car on.
Real quick, for those of you like David who are not in the know, NATO stands for Nazis and the occult.
That just feels right, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't know. Are you a scientist? Do you have another? Have you taken the pen and, unlike every other scientific mind and body on Earth, created it and made it work? Let us know.
I would like to know if you have broken one of the laws of physics. Please let me know.
I've broken a lot of laws. I don't know if any of them are physics, but there's always things to shoot for. You can let us know by going to Facebook and searching for Hysteria Nation. That's our Facebook discussion page. Also, Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. That's our regular Facebook page. You can now listen to the show on there because it's a podcast page. You can stream the show while you're searching through Facebook, right off of Facebook. Patreon.com/Hysteria51. We did our first live stream on Discord this week. It was free for everyone. Soon it's going to be for Patreon members, $1 and forward. I'm going to do them at least every 2 weeks. I'm going to shoot for maybe once a week, as often as I can make it work in my schedule. So make sure you can hop on Hysteria Nation or Patreon to find out more about that. Voicemail 773-669-7277. And find all of that information at hysteria51.com. But there's more important other information you need to know about. You got to know about blurry photos, quiz, quiz, bang, bang, all the David Flora nonsense. David, what you got going on, where they need to find you at, and how big is your cold fusion machine?
My cold fusion machine is like a meseta. It's a little table. It's like one of those little plastic things you put out in the yard for the kids to play on.
My cold fusion machine brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's much smaller than mine. What'd you say?
And they're like, boom, you're dead because I'm from Big Oil. My cold fusion machine are my wife's feet.
Oh, does she like bed to put them on you? Put it on me.
So yeah, I got a ton of stuff going on. Just find blurry photos wherever you find Hysteria 51 stuff. I've got
in my mom's heart. Oh,
also it's tattooed on there. Don't ask me that. I got a patent out pending on heart tattoos. But for your voicemail 773-669-7277. Why don't you guys call in and do your best Flora intro bump, because I need one. I haven't had one before.
We knew. It's about to, you know, maybe next time you're on, I'll have an intro for you.
Yeah, it would be really nice. It would be really nice. I would feel like those guys on that, what is it? Oh, Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
So anyways, find all that stuff. Quizbangpod.com. That's trivia for you if you like trivia. And I've got audiobooks out. I don't know if you guys know that, but if you search Audible for the Living Among Bigfoot series by Tom Lyons, I narrated the collections. So book 1 through 5, 6 through 10, there's 4 of them. So it goes all the way up from 1 to 20. I narrated those audiobooks. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's good times on there. So got that going on. So yeah, that's where you can find me. And thanks again for having me back, Brent.
Of course, it's always a pleasure. And we didn't get in a fist fight over if this is true or not. So we're firing all cylinders. They run off of hydrogen, but we're firing on all of them. You know,
we're on fire.
All right. So that's been our thoughts on Stanley Meyer and his water fuel cell. With that said, I've been Brent.
I have been David.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meat sacks.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.